hugely complimented Cody on just how much he's progressed here over 4 weeks. But from your standpoint, what have you seen in terms of his growth over these last past games?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's playing better every week. It's impressive to see a rookie do the things that he does, commit himself during the week to practice, to meetings, to self-study, and you can see it showing up on the field. He's playing really well for anybody, not just a rookie.
Well, different than a couple of years ago when you had a rookie.
Well, I will say Cody's done about as well as any rookie that I can remember. He's done a tremendous job. I think he surprised a lot of people.
Joe, when you see video of Vontez Burfict, do you think he's a player who crosses the line between legal and illegal hits, dirty and not dirty?
Well, he definitely tries to get under his opponent's skin, and sometimes he lets emotion get the best of him.
Did you see the recent hit of him, Martellus Bennett?
I did, yeah, and, you know, it looks rough, and I guess we'll see what happens.
But Joe, the hit Poyer took on Sunday was within the rules of the game. But is that a play that should be outlawed in the NFL? I mean, that is essentially targeting when you have a free run at a guy for 20 yards like that.
I guess I'm not familiar with exactly what happened. I thought they threw a flag on it, right? And then they said it shouldn't have been a flag?
No, they gave him the 15 yards.
So
they're saying just maybe an ejection or something.
Oh, beyond just a 15-yard and a fine?
Yeah.
It seems that the NFL is hesitant to get into ejections because they don't want to determine the outcome of a game by removing somebody from the field of play. I mean, even on defenseless hits on receiver, they haven't done it yet like they have in college. I think they believe that the heavy fine system that they have in place and the heavy penalties right now is enough. I don't know. I guess I haven't thought about it any deeper than that. I think there's always going to be certain plays that happen in a game that you try to legislate out, but when guys are playing the way they're playing aggressively and violently and as fast as they can, sometimes those things happen, and you don't want them to happen. But even if you do have ejections, I don't know if you're going to completely always eliminate that type of a play.
Joe, over on this subject, Poyer tweeted yesterday he wasn't pleased that the Titans player posted that hit on a video that hit on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Is that crossing the line? I mean, when a guy puts another guy in the hospital and puts the mm-hmm. video out there like that?
I guess I'm not familiar with exactly the drama revolving around that, but certainly you'd hope that there was some sensitivity involved when, you know, a guy does go to the hospital because of a hit. And I think that's one thing that I'd like to see the NFL do is not use highlights of plays that were penalties, like celebrating, you know. If you celebrate with the football, they like to use that as a way to market the game, but yet they fine and penalize players for it. Same thing with the big hits, and I think there was an issue a few years ago, actually on Muhammad Massacoy, a Browns player, where James Harrison had a big hit across the middle as a penalty, and then they were using that as like the cover photo of something they were trying to sell. So I think it's a double standard that I'd like to see the NFL look at a little bit. And if they're going to try to legislate something out of the game, they shouldn't also try to promote it from a marketing standpoint.
But the, Joe, you guys, I mean, the players have to, I mean, is there some kind of, or should there be some kind of code among players where, you know, player safety issue is supposed to be a mm-hmm. huge deal to you guys? And, I mean, obviously you didn't do, but some guys mm-hmm. are posting stuff.
Yeah, like I said, I think there should be some sensitivity involved with that type of a thing, and you got to be careful with what you're promoting, because obviously when you're promoting a play that was a penalty and that got somebody hurt, maybe that's not the right thing that you want to promote for your own brand.
Hey Joe, most of the time you've been here, you've had at least some stability on the offensive line, but that's not been the case this year. So what effect has that had on making the run problem the last couple mm-hmm. weeks?
Well, we have had a lot of shuffles on the offensive line, and probably more than I can ever remember. we had a couple guys in there, and Alex Mack and Mitchell Schwartz that hardly ever missed a play, much less start. And so I think we kind of were taking it for granted that we had good stability on the offensive line, and this year we've been shuffling a lot, but that's the nature of the NFL, and when guys get hurt, you have to have people that are prepared to step up and play as well as the person that was starting ahead of him. It does create a different challenge when you have different faces across each position, because I think offensive line requires a degree of coordination that probably no other position group on an NFL team requires. So you have to kind of kick your coordination into overdrive to be able to try to get yourself and get all five guys on the same page for Sundays.
So has it had a negative, how big a negative effect does that have?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's always tough when you are constantly shuffling guys around, but that doesn't change our responsibility to be able to block well enough that we can run the ball effectively and keep our quarterback upright.
Joel, obviously, you know, underwent the surgery and you know he's out for the season. Now that we know definitively a little bit more about that, just, I mean, how well was he playing? Mm-hmm. And, you know, just what kind of a blow is it to your offensive line to be without him for the rest of the year?
Yeah. Joel was playing really well. He was playing as well as any left guard in football. And so when you lose one of the best left guards in football, it's a tough guy to replace. There's not any backups or anybody on the street that's lying around that can play as well as Joel. But we've got a lot of confidence in the guys that are stepping in for Joel and playing for him. And I don't think the expectation ever changes, even when there's an injury.
What do you tell some of the new guys on the line, Alvin Bailey, Cam Irving, store about Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlop, so familiar with those guys.
Well, there's little tips that we can give them from years of playing against them, but I think the tape speaks for itself in a lot of ways, and this week is no different, because all it takes is watching one drive or one game with those guys, and you understand the type of player they are and the type of challenge that they can pose to us.
Joe, with Hugh going back to Bay Cincinnati, who you spent so much time with, do you think it means more to him, number one? And two, do you guys have any kind of inside information that could be very helpful this week? Mm-hmm.
Well, I think when you're a team struggling for their first win, every game means a lot. But certainly for Hugh being there as long as he was, you would expect that it probably means more to him. I'm sure he wouldn't say anything about it, but anytime you have sort of a homecoming, there's a little added motivation and pressure. And similarly, because he was there for, I think, 4 years, he's got a very good knowledge of their offense, their personnel, their defense, and certainly I would expect the game plan to have a few wrinkles in there based on his intimate knowledge of the Bengals.
Austin Reiter also undergoing his surgery this week. Did you see some things in that one game that he started at center that lead you to believe that he's got a future at the position and mm-hmm. lead?
Mm-hmm. Austin played really well as a center for us in the one game that he played. It was actually fairly remarkable because we signed him off of Washington's practice squad. And so typically when you sign somebody off of a practice squad, you're not making them the starter. They're not even usually active right away. And in 1 week, he was able to pick up on the offense and have a really productive day for us running the ball and protecting the quarterback. So I know the guys upstairs are probably really excited about Austin being healthy and being with us next year.
When you said you think Cody has surprised people with his performance so far, when you saw him in the preseason, he wasn't playing with the first team, obviously. Mm-hmm. How shocked were you when he was able to come in and kind of have the success he's had?
It's always hard to judge the preseason because you're not getting a game plan that's tailored to what you or the people around you really do the best. You're kind of just getting a potpourri of whatever plays that you have in the larger playbook. So it's always difficult to gauge, especially when you're playing as a third quarterback. You're playing with largely a group of guys that are getting cut. That's the reality of the business. Usually there's two deep offensive line, and then there's maybe five or six receivers. And by the time you're into the third string in training camp, most of those guys are practice squad or worse. So it's really always difficult to kind of judge a quarterback by that. But I think certainly there was some concern when Cody did get to his first start because we didn't know a whole lot about him. I think most people probably in the building expected him to kind of have a redshirt season, for lack of a different word. He was going to be the guy that learns under Robert and Josh and then see what he can do in the future years. But he was thrust into service, and I think he really surpassed people's expectations. I think not only what he's doing on the field, but how he prepares himself and as a leader, as a quarterback, those intangibles that you need to have. He's clearly the type of guy that has those intangibles that can be a great quarterback in the NFL.